afternoon and welcome from Florida and Colorado. Steve Elkins and Steve Stars here, hosting a new show on the network, most likely a limited series show for the departed Michael Rivero. We wish him the best. We're actively looking for somebody to fill this two-hour slot, but for the time being, we want to keep it fresh and we want to keep the information coming to you, and we try to bring you a great show here tonight. Again, this is probably just a limited series show, filling in this slot here until we find another host. And today's date is July 31st, 2023. 14 days left of freedom for the school kids until they get back to brainwashing and indoctrination. I'm sure glad I don't have children in the public school system anymore. By the way, does summer school still exist anymore, or is that racist? I don't know. It's a good question, I guess. We had it back in my day, back in Steve Starr's day, I'm sure. The title for the show is called Joint Resolution, Joint Resolution. And let me bring on my good friend and co-host tonight, Mr. Steve Starrs. Steve, are you there?
I am here, and I'm glad to be with you. You know, a great day for the end of July. And I think, I don't know if Tom's with us. I think he's still held over. Did you get a chance to hear some of the interview?
I did, and I wrote down a few questions here for him. Yeah, if he's still around, I'd love to talk to him. Yeah.
I'm here. Good to meet you.
Good. Worked. Well, yes, welcome. Great. Welcome to the show. Like I said, this is a groundbreaking show here today. Like I said, I don't know how long it's going to last. We are actively looking for somebody to fill in the shoes for Mike Rivera. Hard to fill those shoes, but we're going to do our best. And for the time being, Steve and I will team up, and we'll see if we can tackle some of the issues and bring you some information and open up your minds a little bit here to what's going on in the world here. And again, Tom, thank you for staying over and for this show here. I appreciate that. This is going to be a long day for me. 2 hours back to back, another 2 hours after this show for the National Intel Report. So I haven't done this since John Stadtmiller and I teamed up, and we did 5 hours at one stretch. And then I did 2 hours with you, Steve, up in Colorado.
Yeah,
and that was for the election. We were unfolding the election results, state by state, and then we finally did you see that? Did you see it? What? Yeah, the flip. They just flipped the numbers, and so we caught the fraud pretty fast for the election here. That was an amazing time to watch that steal. But and here we are going. I'm going to do it again tonight, back to back, 4 hours total, and.
That's a great opportunity.
Yeah, it's something else. Remember. You know, I want to bring attention to something really quick here, Steve. I think I shared this with you, and I wanted to share this with the audience, how I kind of got my foot in the door for talk radio. And you're a big part of that, by the way. Steve Starrs and Dave were a big part of that, bringing me in. Farron actually also was, too. And then Deanna Spingola kind of had me on a couple times as a guest for medical matters. And then Farron did also. We did a show together. And then Steve Starrs, of course, helped me kind of break into the biz here, I guess you might say. And but something else happened along the way. I just want to share it because it's kind of an interesting story how it brought me into finding actually RBN. And as a travel nurse, I would travel all over the country. And some of my assignments, they were pretty far out. And I'd say, well, it's an 800-mile drive to my next destination for my next assignment. And I may get there and not start for a couple of days, but I get there always early. And a lot of times, since I'm a night nurse, I was an ICU night nurse and ER nurse, I would make great time traveling at nighttime, not in the heat of the day, but I just say, I'm taking off at night. I'm a night nurse. I stay up all night anyway. No big deal. So I'd hit the road at nighttime. And one of my assignments was in Modesto, California, and I was leaving from Provo, Utah, and I'd taken off in the evening. I said, well, it's 800 miles. I'll do it in one stretch. Not a big deal. And in the middle of the night, you know, there's not much on radio, and I started flipping around the dial there, and I finally came up on some AM, trying to find somebody to talk to me, you know. And I come across a coast-to-coast AM show with George Norrie interviewing Michael Rivero for 2 hours. And I had heard things I'd never heard before. They were talking about the JFK assassination and all kinds of other stuff, and I thought, wow, this is pretty cool stuff. I'd never heard anybody be this honest. Certainly nobody in the mainstream media could be this honest. And Mike was never invited back, by the way. We talked about that a couple of days ago, Mike and I. He was never invited back. And wonder why, because maybe he had too much truth on the show itself. But I just want to bring that to your attention, that thanks to Mike Rivero, thanks to Steve Starrs, Dave, and Deanna Spingola and Farron for allowing me to kind of come into the biz here. And I was kind of a political junkie after that, after listening to that show. And I started doing more research from what I researched in college for my classes on the JFK assassination. And then we had 9/11 and the World Trade Center attacks, and everything just didn't come together as far as the narrative. It didn't come with the narrative. I said, there's something fishy here. So I got to dig a little bit deeper and a little bit deeper. And here I am today on RBN having a show also and working with Steve Starr. So, Steve, thank you for being a big inspiration to me.
Well, you were already doing your great jazz show. You know, before the break, I was telling Tom that you had been involved as a nurse with the whole thing with COVID and what happened. Yeah. And, you know, maybe you guys can kind of relate to that a little bit as to, you know, your bad experience with the whole COVID jab and everything that happened to you.
Sure.
And you know, he might be able to kind of sound out a little bit about how, you know, we've seen these things before. We've been working with people for years now. Like he said, he goes back to 1982. That's 41 years.
Yeah.
Talking to people, dealing with people, and being the ER person and the nurse that you were there at that time. You understand how it is to work with people, and maybe you guys can, you know, kind of relate a little bit to each other, to what's been going on with all the people out there suffering because of this madness.
Yeah. Well, I can definitely relate to that. And, you know, I have a couple questions. Let me start off first with the question I have prior, where you were talking about the HIV and AIDS. For Tom, this question is directed to you, that we all have moments in time when we can go back and said, I remember when that happened and where I was at this time. I can tell you about the assassination of Bobby Kennedy. I can remember the assassination of John Lennon, the death of Jim Croce, the death of Stevie Ray Vaughan, other political figures that have been assassinated, whatever. And I know where I was in time. Reagan, I remember where I was when Reagan died. I remember that was down here in South Florida. And the question I have for you, Tom, is when did you, as far as the AIDS goes, we're talking about the COVID too, but when did you first recognize an agenda, the fraud and the agenda attached to HIV and AIDS? Where were you, and when did you first realize that?
Well, this is interesting. I was, at the time, I actually have a background in acting, writing, and directing.
Okay.
And I was working at the Public Theater in New York City, Joe Path Public Theater, and I think it was around, it might have been 1985. I had never really heard about AIDS. I wasn't really in touch with the media. I was so busy doing my own stuff. I even though I was in Manhattan in the center of all this stuff, I wasn't really paying attention to stuff about AIDS. But I do remember the first time I heard something about it, and it was something related to Gallo, and they were saying stuff about, you know, now this is a really tricky virus. This even attacks your immune system. And it was kind of like the old thing of, you know, Eddie Murphy made the joke about, at first there was VD, and then they escalated to herpes, and, you know, and now there's AIDS. You know, there's this, everything has to be bigger than the thing before.
Yeah.
And I remember when they said, this actually attacks your immune system, I remember thinking, that doesn't make any sense. Something's just from there. Just hearing that, and I didn't even know half of what I know now. It just sounded wrong. It's like, no, that just sounds like a scare tactic. So that was my very first moment with it. And then when I started looking at it, I had a scientist friend of mine, Dr. James DeMeo, who had, you know, was a good source of lots of great controversial truth. And it was actually through him I found out about Peter Duisberg. And when I started looking at some of Duisberg's materials, because I have this Reichian background, my first thing went into not even the science of it, but again, the sociology of it. It's like, wait a minute, there's a whole other thing going on here. So that was what I felt I could help contribute to the whole dissident movement, because nobody was really talking about the psycho-emotional stuff. You know, Michael Elner was talking about the hypnosis, but there was still a broader aspect of it, of the emotional dynamics, the energy dynamics, you know, the natural scientific part of emotions and social processes that nobody was really touching on, and I thought I could contribute some of that.
Well, I got to say, looking at your resume here, Tom, that you have kind of become the David Ray Griffin, where David Ray Griffin was for 9/11 truthers and the truth architects for engineers, the truth movement for finding out what happened on 9/11 and the World Trade Center being taken down. We know was an It was a takedown. It was implied. It was an implosion type situation here. I'm not escaping the word I need to use right there, but
terrorism.
It was a pancake. The pancake thing just didn't work. I'm sorry. I've seen enough controlled demolition. That's the word I'm looking for. Controlled demolition in Vegas, taking down the casinos. I know how it works, how it comes down in its own footprint. So you can't tell me the pancake theory. That's what happened here. But no, you've taken on, plus your colleagues have coming together. You've kind of like you're the architects of engineers for HIV and AIDS. But did you recognize early on that Africa was being used as a petri dish for HIV and AIDS?
Now that's a trick question. What do you mean by a petri dish? You mean in terms of experimental drugs being put on people or in terms of a virus?
For the virus itself and then using the drugs and everything else. They had to have a petri dish somewhere. And Africa seems to be a petri dish for a lot of experimentation. We know Bill Gates goes there. And, of course, in his TED speech and how he wants to bring down the population of the world, we need to, and how vaccines will be a big part of that. But I've always looked at Africa. Everything happens in Africa. Dengue fever, this happens in Africa, this happened. It seems to be the perfect petri dish to try something out. It must have very little regulation there. And I recognize right off the bat, wow, it's always Africa again. Steve, did you ever recognize that too? It's Africa.
Oh, yeah. You know,
it's Africa again, for God's sakes.
Tom will recall that really in the beginning, Africa was not even in the picture at all as far as where this was going on. It was all about gay men and IV drug users, right, Tom, in the beginning?
Yeah, they needed to egalitarian, what's the word? You know, they had to spread, they had to, or as Mike Wilder would put it, they had to de-gay AIDS. You know, so it was, you know, there was this obvious argument, if this is a sexually transmitted disease, why is it sticking to a homosexual community?
Why is it 90% male? Yeah, exactly. And yeah. You know, and they had, of course, you know, as you pointed out, Steve, they have to have a dark place to start something in the jungle somewhere. You know what I mean? Sure. This is all about that creepy stuff that you know, saw in the old Tarzan movies in the 1930s. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well,
I mean,
go ahead. That's the racist part, you know, where you have to, what's the art? Because it obviously you have a situation like this. The natural question is, where's the origin? But the problem was, I'm not sure how much you know about the AIDS dissidents, but our point of view is that AIDS is not even infectious. I'm just making clear that if you understand that. We don't see this as anything having to do with any kind of bug, that you have a bunch of different risk groups with individual risk factors who produce symptoms that are consistent with those risk factors. And otherwise, it's a media image that there is a bug and everybody's dying the same way. That's, you know, simply not reality. So the Africa part, there wasn't anything, just in case this is what you're implying, and I'm giving you a different way of looking at it, I don't think there was anything about planning anything viral out there. They simply took starving people. Like I was saying to Steve in the other show, you know, there's a convenience and opportunism factor here. If you have people who you know are sick anyway, you just redefine their sickness and you have a new product. So they took starving.
Well, you also have people there in Africa. Of course, they had famine, and they have, you know, they're very poor, and they have very little to eat. And you have damaged immune systems, something to wreak havoc on, and study the effects of something you've introduced. I mean, I don't think there's any country in the world, a nation that has the famine that we see anywhere else in the world. Africa, I mean, certain parts of Africa are. I mean, it's just it's terrible to see what's happening there. But
that's right. So what you see are the diseases of poverty, not infectious disease, diseases of poverty and starvation and lack of sanitation. So it's like predictable. Nothing had changed. You know, now the only thing that changes is they might bring in vaccines and medical drugs, which give a new character to the symptoms of people. I mean, that's the part of exploiting them. That again, I wasn't sure if that was what you meant by that, but that part's true. But in terms of bringing some virus and testing it, that's not true. But testing drugs, I mean, that's the virus, is these fake chemicals that are so toxic. And the racist element that, you know, you have expendable people and let's see, you know, how we can benefit from this. I mean, that's where the sociopath part comes in.
It's amazing that mindset. These are expendable people. We can study them. We can, you know, do the drugs. We can study them, and their history, they're gone. And they're in the record books of some pharmaceutical study that will probably be tweaked anyway to say it was a success story, just like they did for COVID shots.
Exactly. And then
Steve, would you agree with that comment? Would you agree with that, Steve?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, Celia writes about something called brain AIDS that she ran into on the border of Tanzania with Philip Krynan and his group down there, brain AIDS. Now, they had what they called was the Bangui definition. In other words, they weren't testing people for antibodies. They were just going in and looking at villages, and they were trying to decide, is this what is happening here? Is it HIV AIDS that's causing all these people to get sick? And they'd gone into one of these villages, and the people were rather ill at that point right there. And they said, well, at least 85% of these people fit the Bangui definition. They're all AIDS patients. And then eventually some of the people showed up and started using their phony antibody test. And they found out that virtually all of them were HIV negative. And suddenly everybody in the village started getting better almost immediately. See, this psychosis of the disease was working. Their brain AIDS was all in their brain. These people were fine, but they needed nutrition. They needed selenium. They needed pure water. And they started giving them the things that they needed. And all of a sudden the community snapped right back. So this is kind of what I think Tom was saying, right?
Yeah, you can also see, it's a good example, because you can see the mechanism of the lie. Okay, I'm always emphasizing the emotional and social part, but here's where a financial part definitely plays a role, because you have the NGOs come in, they're getting money from, like, the Faucis of the world. And then they go into Africa under the banner of, you know, we're here to help save people, but they're going in looking for, quote, aid. And they're going to redefine everything as AIDS because they're being paid to do that. So now all of a sudden everything is going to become AIDS. And now they have their foot in the door to set up the industry and exploit this population.
Yeah. And Bill Gates is part of that. Yeah, Bill Gates.
I couldn't agree with that more. Yeah, you're 100%. The old saying, Steve and Tom, it's always about the money. Definitely applies to this situation here, as it applies also to COVID. And COVID actually had many other agendas attached to it also, as we heard in that TED speech from Bill Gates. But you're absolutely correct. You know, Steve, you come in and you try to be look like the hero, the knight on the shiny horse or whatever, in the shining armor on the white horse, riding in to save the day, you know, on something that you actually knew what was going to happen and you predicted it. And now you're here to sell the day as far as a new drug to take care of AIDS. And the migration, it's funny how they picked the migration to bring AIDS, of course, assimilated to gay men, pretty much gay men, like you said, not females, but gay men. And they brought it to San Francisco. What a great place to bring this disease and this concept. It's about homosexuality and the gay men. What a great place to bring it to.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, this is the way they progressed with the whole thing, because they needed this infectious AIDS model. And that's why they used Africa, of course, because in this case, it wasn't just this small sect of group, you know, which was the homosexual gay man in the fast track lifestyle, by the way. And then the people who are long term drug users and people with some medical risks as well. So, you know, even Walter Dowdle, the top executive director of infectious disease, sexual transmitted diseases, it came up to the analysis that the HIV was not being transmitted sexually. Back in 1987, he did this already. He'd already done the study. He said it's like being hit by lightning, the possibility of an HIV infection sexually. And that was all discounted. But, hey, we got a break coming up, I think, don't we?
Yep, we do. I hear some music. And, Tom, if you can stay with us a little longer, I got a couple more questions for you. Love for you to stick around. Short commercial break. Sure. We'll be right back.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store. or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Resolution, and joining me with Steve Starrs and our guest today, Tom. How do you pronounce your last name, Tom?
Didn't introduce me.
Tom, how do you pronounce your last name?
Yeah, DeFerdinando.
DeFerdinando. Okay, there we go. Well, we have Tom on, staying over from Steve Starrs' show, Lightspeed, and we are digging into the issues. We were talking about AIDS. Now we're going to go into a little different direction here. Something that I am really involved with as a health professional, 30 years in ICU and ER, with the crisis here, the COVID pandemic. And I want to go in that direction there a little bit with you, Tom, if we may, and Steve, sure. You can join me on this one here. Again, like I mentioned with AIDS, of what I saw back when it first came to my attention, that I said there's something not right here. There's something very fishy. There's an agenda attached to this. The same thing happened to COVID. It was very easy for me on this one here, which was really bothersome because I caught it. And I don't have a master's degree. I don't have a doctor's degree. And I caught it. It was so simple for me. I'm a pretty sharp guy. I remember all the classes I took in immunology and virology and everything else, anatomy and physiology. And I remember everything I learned. I have good retention of my medical knowledge, and I picked up right away fraud. So I caught one fraud issue, and that was the asymptomatic spreader. Then I dug a little deeper and found out the PCR testing, the polymer chain reaction testing here, was also flawed. At a certain cycles, it would give you a false positive. I found so many flaws right off the bat. And one of them I wanted to bring to the attention of the listeners and to Tom and to Steve. Steve and I talked about before. Well, another dead giveaway to a fraud is if your hospitals are over, you know, crowded, they're jammed, and your nurses are so stressed, for God's sakes, and we have to hire more nurses, and they're just burned out, and they're paying huge bonuses to nurses to stay on, do extra shifts. then you don't see nurses in the ICU dancing and doing a skit as if on American Idol. And I saw this on internet here, YouTube and plenty of other channels, of nurses doing a skit, their AIDS skit, their COVID skit, and how much fun they were having in their chairs, rolling around and dancing and having fun. I'll tell you what, that never happens. Flat out, I saw that. I said, what ICU was that? It's not happening. That was choreographed. That was a sketch. And so whoever's planned this whole thing out to tell everybody that the hospitals are jam-packed, we got the meat wagon behind the storage facility behind with dead bodies piling up. Of course, the containers behind the hospital had never had the refrigerator units turned on for some reason. The bodies were just stacked up in there, and nobody was guarding the vehicle, the refrigerator unit anyway. There were so many lies I caught along the way, but I saw that dancing ICUs having a great time in the unit. And I said, that's not my unit. I tell you what, I barely get a lunch. Most of the time I eat my lunch at my desk in front of my patient's monitor, overlooking my patient through glass with the door shut a little bit. And my patient's on a ventilator. They may have several IVs going, and I'm keeping their blood pressure up. I'm keeping them alive. They may be on a balloon pump. They may be on numerous other life-saving mechanisms that we have, technology. And like I said, I'm lucky to get 30 minutes. And that's not by myself quiet time. That's 30 minutes to eat my meal and do my job at the same time and keep my charting up, because there's no way. That's the life of an ICU nurse. That's probably why there's a little bit of a burnout, and that's why ICU nurses are a little temperamental. They take their jobs very serious. I take my job very serious. There's no screwing off on my job. If I'm a charge nurse and I see somebody screwing off and has that kind of time, you're out of here. You're out of here. I don't want you in my unit. You've got a job to take. This is called intensive care unit. You get that? Critical care. Everybody in here is here because they're very, very sickly and they're on the edge of death. You don't catch things. You make mistakes. People die here. And that's my job, is to catch those things, make sure those mistakes don't happen, and we don't escalate and end up downstairs in the morgue. So, again, the dancing ICU nurses, that was one for me. I have several, and I could go through them all, but I won't. But I want to make sure people understand to look at what you're being told and find something to validate that to be a truthful statement. If you're told that the ICUs are packed and the nurses are swamped and they're stressed, you don't see dancing nurses on the ICU. You never do.
That's right.
Your comment.
I usually put the focus, there's one unifying concept, I tell people to pay attention to contradictions. And even when other people tell you you're not seeing a contradiction, you have to stick to it. If you see it, you feel it, stick to it, articulate it, and don't let go of it until it's actually resolved. Exactly. If the places are overrun with bodies, and in New York they put the great big tents up in the whole center in Central Park, and they had a ship off on the side, but there was nobody there.
Yep. Hold that thought, Tom. We'll come right back to you, and we'll be right back. Short break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. owner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject, from the funding behind the transgender movement to firsthand memoirs of World War II previously inaccessible to English-speaking audiences. We publish books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo. Whether you count yourself as a political dissident, student of history, connoisseur of philosophy, or enthusiast of exciting and thought-provoking fiction, you owe it to yourself to check out our catalog. With exclusive offerings like The Transgender Industrial Complex, Solzhenitsyn and the Right, The Open Society Playbook, Opioids for the Masses, and many more, there's something for everyone, and new titles are added every month. Check out our catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com and use code RBNReaders2023 for 10% off your order. That's RBN Readers 2023 at antelopehillpublishing.com.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Joint Resolution, Steve Starrs, myself, I'm Steve Elkins, and our guest tonight, Tom DeFernando. Nice to have you back. I'm going to let you go ahead and finish up where we went to the commercial break there, Tom. Finish up your thoughts here about what I just broke loose there about the dancing ICU nurses. I went off a little bit there. I got really irritated about that. I hope I didn't come off in a bad way there. But let me say, I take my job very serious, and when I see something that is that hokey, first of all, and they're trying to portray us that we're our hospitals are full to the limit. We have people in the hallways. The ERs are busting at the seams. We have dead people in storage units behind the hospital. All these lies that kind of pack up, and they just stack up on top of each other. And I get to a point where I get very angry. I couldn't figure out how nobody else would point this stuff out other than myself. Nobody in the mainstream media would point this out. And I don't understand why not. Other than they went along with the scam because they were well paid to go along with the scam, Tom.
Right. Well, first of all, it's a healthy response to be enraged in a situation like that. And, you know, if in fact there's something wrong with you, if you don't get enraged at that. What I was pointing out was try to help people to look at contradictions You were noting a contradiction. These are all contradictions when, the reality being presented to us is inconsistent with the reality you see. There's something wrong when that happens. So if you're being told, another contradiction I see, if you look at ICU, I figure, okay, if people are ill, first thing they need is proper care, proper nourishment, if that's appropriate, proper touch, all these things. Well, wait a minute. All of a sudden we have, in many cases, elderly people who are alone, who then are not allowed to see any of their family, who are surrounded by people in masks and suits. Now, is this a health supportive and life supportive and healing supportive situation? No. It's an easy prediction, at least from the point of view that I'm coming from and the people I work with come from. You can predict you're going to increase the likelihood that somebody's going to die. Everything you're doing is against the life process by dealing with them like they are some kind of, an infectious disease themselves. You're not going to save them. They're going to die. So to me, that's a big contradiction, is just the care. I look at that with the lockdowns. I mean, to me, that was a big contradiction. I mean, it goes with the ICU. If you have, something like a lockdown, you're squashing people's natural sociability, right? That has health consequences. They're not looked at usually, but that has a health consequence. And you can predict, if you're going to lock down a society and prevent people from working and just doing what they naturally do in life and socialize, you can predict that the healthy people are going to get a little bit weaker, the weak people are going to get sick, the sick people are going to get sicker, and the really sick people are going to die. So you can predict just by imposing a lockdown on society, no matter your pontifications about how it's for safety and for people's well-being, you can predict you're going to kill off the most vulnerable people just by virtue of the lockdown. You don't need a virus to explain that.
Typically, Steve and Tom, you probably agree with me, is in scientific research here, scientific method, you look at all the variables and you actually have a team of people. We see the government do this all the time. They always bring their little task force, and their task force is supposed to be well-rounded, educated people to look at all the evidence, and they come up with the best solutions to the problems. And we didn't see that here with COVID. As usual, it was just one narrative, one-sided only. And, starting off with social distancing, what a joke that was. A mask that can't protect you from a virus because it's too dang small. All this contact stuff, closing down businesses, the terminology they used, flatten the curve. We got to flatten the curve. Everybody stay home, quarantine yourself. And then running around testing healthy people with a flawed test, the PCR test, running around testing healthy people. I feel healthy. Well, you're not healthy. The test came back and says you're positive. Now you are an asymptomatic carrier. You could kill grandma. So, and never once talking about comorbidities. Steve, you'll agree with me on this one. Comorbidities, people that were very, very sickly that were thrown in there. They were easy bait, I guess, for the agenda, and that they would be killed off, and simply saying, look how bad this was. Well, forget the guy had congestive heart failure. Forget he had COPD. Forget he had brittle diabetes. He had all these other health problems. And yes, the flu would have killed him. And basically what we're looking at here, is we're seeing maybe a little bit more stronger flu situation here going on that will kill those people that would probably have died through the flu season, and they're simply going to die from this instead. And the suppression of the early treatments and the key people that wanted to open up the debate to talk about these issues were shunned. They were pushed out, people like Dr. McCullough and many others, pushed away. No, you can't go on TV. You can't talk about that. And then let's go after your licensure because what? You're bringing truth on what you know in your scientific research, which conflicts the narrative that we're selling right now. I tell you what, this thing has been a stressor for me. It's made me very bitter. It's made me very hostile. It's made me say I don't trust my employer anymore. I had to write exemption letters for people, among myself and my wife, to exclude ourselves from taking poison into our bodies that is experimental. Take that. I take this pretty dang serious.
Yes. Well, you are experiencing what I call the freedom fire, and that's a deadly serious thing that you want to ignite in people. But the thing is, the difficult part is because we're not going to resolve this situation quick. you have to kind of sit with that fire until you can use it in a productive way, but you can't let it kill you. But it's a completely rational response to this situation, to feel this thwarting of your basic freedoms in all these many ways. I mean, all the things you're describing are thwartings of your basic desire to live your life, you know, deal with, you know, love your family, do satisfying work, keep yourself happy. Basic thwarting of all those basic things has a profound emotional and psychological effect on people, and it's generally not even recognized. I mean, that was a big part of why people were feeling so weird, so angry, so scared. You know, it all then gets displaced onto a theoretical virus, but in fact, what people are feeling is really the virus of a creeping fascism, of taking their freedoms away under the umbrella of, you know, safety and well-being and health. But, you know, the more you got that freedom fire, and you got to stick to it. You got to go, look, even if I can't explain what's wrong in this situation, I know something's wrong. I'm being thwarted. I can't live my life. Something's fundamentally wrong. I don't care the justifications or the explanations. Something is wrong here. And you got to stick to that. And then all those people, like us, start finding each other, and the numbers slowly will grow. And they have been growing over the past few years. It's probably still not going to happen in our lifetime, but it's, you know, there's more and more pushback developing. And we need more.
Well,
we
I tell you,
claim our own lives.
Go ahead, Steve. Go ahead, Steve.
I was just going to say, absolutely. You know, I thought about what I saw about with HIV/AIDS very early on, Linda Levine and all these other people in Hollywood. It was like the dancing nurses. And I said, what's wrong with this? I mean, we have a lot of people basically who have some serious problems in this risk group, the original risk groups of gay men, you know, in this fast track lifestyle, and IV drug users. And they're turning this into some kind of a let's get together bandwagon party. Hollywood, everybody's going to be wearing red ribbons and all this. And, you know, I was starting to feel the very same thing that you were feeling with the dancing nurses, Steve, you know, and what Tom talked about. You know, this is what I like about Tom's, you know, analysis of this stuff, is that we're dealing with people as well. We're looking at the mindset of all of what's happening here. It's not just science. You know, let me just briefly say this, that, you know, this is more about crime, I believe, than it is about healthcare or science. And that's really the issue that we haven't noticed, that these people are criminals that are orchestrating this kind of a monetary big pharma sorcery system that's out there sucking people in and misusing them and abusing them the way they are. And we've fallen for it. And that's what I like about Tom and Heal and the work they've been doing, even from the beginning, working with patients and saying, okay, let's take a look at what's going on with your life. And before the virus was even around, they were making progress, and the chapters broke out all over. Like, you know, maybe, Tom, this won't happen in our lifetime, but it's happening so fast right now. Maybe we will see an answer very quickly. Fauci is being charged criminally now. Things are starting to break loose all over Europe. We're seeing it in a number of places. I'll back off and just let you guys go with that. But, you know, we're starting to realize that, like you said, that freedom fire is burning hotter and hotter all the time. We've never seen anything as big as this. But then again, we've never had the challenge that we have right now either.
Yeah, I certainly don't want to downplay any of the gains, but I have to keep my eye on the ball. That until people really feel their capacity for self-regulation and their sense of freedom, you know, then they will remain susceptible to public health bullcrap. You know, to these public health officials. We can't disempower those public health officials until people are capable of re-empowering themselves, because the public health officials are exploiting people's lack of sense of freedom and self-regulation around health, and that they are active participants in the outcome of their situations. And if they don't feel that, they will tend to comply. You know, if you don't feel your sense of freedom, you gravitate toward authority figures, you know, because you need somebody else to make decisions for you. And at the same time, unfortunately, what comes with that is a scapegoating impulse. You know, because you don't have any sense of freedom, not only do you gravitate toward the authority figures, but then you have to blame all your misery and frustration for not having your freedom on somebody else, or even on a virus. I mean, you need scapegoats. It's part of the mindset of not having your freedom intact. So that's really an underlying problem, which that's not going to go away, but for some time. But we can continue working on it, because then the more of us there are, the more we'll have some fun.
Well, I tell you what, this thing was really well scripted and choreographed, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I despise these people who brought this to us. But I got to say they were very clever in what they did and how they used the mainstream media and how they choreographed it using fear campaign, you know, showing people on ventilators. That was the big thing. Oh, my gosh, you don't want to end up on a ventilator. Here's this guy. And despite the fact that the picture of the guy on the ventilator was in a car accident, he wasn't anything related to COVID whatsoever. Right. I saw plenty of that stuff. And so, like I said, the stacking up of all the fraud with COVID was pretty easy for me to find. And what bothered me the most, Tom and Steve, was that I found my colleagues, mainly not ICU nurses, we're pretty smart, we catch this stuff, was the higher-ups, the disciplines, the physicians, that were forced to comply and go along with this for their economic reasons. So we're looking at economic extortion at the physician and also myself. Like I said, I was ready to walk out. Wife and I said, we're walking out. We have some savings. We're going to have to rely on that for a while. We're going to figure this out. And basically, when this stuff hits the fan here, and we start seeing the dead toll start to accumulate, this thing is going to be so obvious that we were right. We were right. But it's changed me. It's changed me quite a bit. My employer, who I was loyal to in many, many ways, I look at my employer now as in a very different light now. I don't trust my employer. Still coming at us once in a while here, still trying to push this shot for some reason, even though it doesn't prevent anything. And I know people that have had several shots. God bless them. I don't know how much longer they have, but you think the light bulb would go on in your head after you've taken one and you get COVID, which you were told was supposed to prevent COVID. You take a second shot or a booster and you still get COVID. So guess what? It doesn't work. Now what damage have you done to bring in this poison into your body? Dr. McCullough coming out, this is what, 2 or 3 weeks ago, SV40 in the vaccine here, which causes cancer. We know graphene oxide's in there, spike protein. I was in a terrible situation. Steve, I don't know if I told you this. Tom, I was in a hospital. I had cancer. I had my cancer removed, my colon. And I'm in a bad situation. Before I can even have the surgery, I need blood. I am in such a critical situation of blood. I need blood, or I'm going to be in the ICU myself soon, that I had to get a transfusion. I didn't want it. You know why I didn't want it? Because I thought back the days of the HIV and AIDS, the blood contamination with the blood banks. How many people, hemophiliacs, went in to get a transfusion, ended up getting positive for AIDS and dying at that time. And I'm thinking, here I'm in a situation, I need the blood. I can't beef it up on iron alone. What am I going to do? I'm on my phone. I'm texting Dr. Peter McCullough. Hey, I'm in trouble here. What do I do? Is the blood supply in our blood banks, is it safe or not? I'm worried about the spike protein crossover transfusion. And he gave me a good rational answer, and it sounded all right. I trusted him. He said, Steve, take the blood. Take the blood. You need it now. I took the blood. So far, so good. No problems. But they are now working. The Red Cross is now has developed, evidently, I understand, or they have by now, working on vaccinated blood and unvaccinated blood, because you know what? There's something that crosses over, and they recognize that now.
But by the way, they use the word extortion. I think that's an excellent word and one that needs to be reach more of the popular consciousness. Because if you have hospitals are being told you cannot take other patients, obviously you're going to be bleeding them dry financially. And then the government says and comes in and says you're going to have $19,000 for everybody you diagnose as COVID and $39,000 for everybody you put on a ventilator. That is explicit extortion. And
well, incentive. That's financial incentive to make everything AIDS. And we talked about it here on the show before. Steve, you know, I talked about it. A motorcyclist down here in South Florida had an accident, died, and they listed him as a COVID death.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because they can get extra money for a COVID diagnosis. So the financial incentive, I tell you, I'm near the end of my career. I'm close to retirement. And it couldn't happen any sooner because I'm very disappointed in what happened to the medical complex here. I don't like to call it an industry, but it is. And what I served very I served with all my heart. I did my best. But to find out my own industry here is attacking me for not complying and taking the shot and willing to throw me under the bus here. And thank God, you know, we united, Steve, Tom, we united. The IC nurses and ER nurses stuck together on this one. And OBGYN. We had some target areas in a hospital. I'll tell you right now. if you force this on us, we're walking. And I don't want to leave anybody hanging. I don't want to do that to my – I don't want to put a gun to my patient's head. But I'm not going to take anything experimental. We're walking out. We've given you 2 weeks' notice. We're out of here. And you know what? It worked.
Wow.
It worked. Good. They backed down. They backed off. You can keep your jobs. And they stopped because we would have shut their hospitals down. And I didn't want to do that because that targets the community that needs our services. But you know what? I'm not gonna play Russian roulette with this thing. I'm not gonna say, well, did I get a dangerous shot or did I get the placebo? Did I get the normal saline one? Because they didn't give them all the same. They were different lot numbers.
Congratulations. Congratulations on that.
A win category.
Yep, and we'll finish up here. I don't know if Tom wants to stick around a little longer. A few more questions for it, and let's open the phone lines up here. 512-248-8252. Let's hear what you got to say about this.
Of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Gilad Atzmon says the essence of Jewish power is the ability to prevent the discussion of Jewish power.
Jewish power requires anybody in politics to understand it and know about it, but never talk about it.
My Awakening really sums up with the very best evidence, the facts and the truth about race, and the fact that race drives history, and the truth about the Jewish question.
The younger you get, the greater the percentage of people who identify as alphabet soup, you know, LGBTQRS.
This woman, she's like, oh yeah, I identify as a koala 2 years ago. And I'm like, what?
A koala?
What? Maybe if it was Quickie Koala, that might be cool, but otherwise, I don't. How about an N-word pass? Have you ever received an N-word pass from any of your black friends?
Biden invited a drag queen to come for the signing of the Respect for Marriage Act. It's the Respect for Anal Sex Act. So, yeah, I mean, let's just call it like it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendivite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendivite was just what I needed to keep me healthy, and Extendivite is all natural. Extendivite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendivite forever. Get your 2 month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Steve Elkins and our guest Tom DiFernando. I have a hard time saying it. I can't say that name very well. I'm sorry if I butcher it. Don't mean to. Can't say it five times in a row. And that's you're by the only name I could say. I couldn't say that five times in a row. Be a definitely a tongue twister there. But you know, we're talking about what's that?
It's the DI that throws everybody else. Everybody knows Ferdinand.
Okay, Ferdinando. Well, that is all right. To get back on my, I was just telling here, typing into to Steve Starrs that I think I suffer. I get a little hot under the collar on this issue here. Now, we haven't talked about it a whole lot. I think it's been bottled up for a while for me. But I think I'm suffering for a new diagnosis I've just created myself. I call it PTSCD, and that's post-traumatic stress COVID disorder, a new diagnosis, because it just really burns me up of how, first of all, how people trusted Tom, how people trusted Bill Gates. He was given an honorary degree in science and in medicine, and just because you're a billionaire doesn't mean you're smart in medicine and science. But for some reason, given the honorary degrees, running around trying to be the great humanitarian of bringing vaccines to save the world, save us from what, but then having his TED speech about the need of bringing down world's population by 10 or 15% if we use vaccines effectively. Wow. I tell you, the first time I saw that, and it just a big light bulb went off saying, and we're following this guy's direction. He wants to take down the world's population through vaccines. And what's he pushing? Vaccines. Tom, any comments on that?
Yeah, I'll say something. But two things. One, the video clip of Gates, my favorite, was in that Stephen Colbert interview, and they're talking about the vaccines, and Gates actually had the chutzpah to say it's the final solution. And then Stephen Colbert says, well, maybe we should stay off the conspiracy theorists at the gate and maybe not use terms like final solution. And Gates goes, ho, 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 maybe you have a point. You know, it's like the man had the balls to use the term the final solution. The other thing, this is almost going to sound like I'm speaking in defense of him, but I'm everything has to be clear. When I looked at that clip of him saying we want to bring down the world's population, there's a thing that I got to get clear about there, because it's known, as far as I understand, in biology, that there's a phenomenon where when animals or people are living under less stress, when they're healthier, they actually have less babies, you know, because there's not like a fear factor or this panic factor of, oh my God, you know, I got to have as many babies as I can because they're not all going to survive. So there's the kernel of truth. Now, I don't know if he was invoking that, but when he said we want, and even though I believe the whole vaccine thing is total bullcrap, that he is believing vaccines will make people healthy, that'll bring down the population, he may have been invoking that biological thing, but for the wrong reason. Not wanting to speak in his defense, but just for clarity.
All right. Well, hey, Tom, if you could stick around just a little bit more. I got a couple more questions. And we got a caller on the line here, probably has a question for you. So if you can stick around. Second hour coming up, joint resolution. Stay tuned.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.